Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
This is my mood right now. This is my mood right now. AFC Championship game. Chiefs, Titans, Arrowhead Stadium, Sunday, 2:05 p.m. I cannot wait. I can't wait. We still got more than 24 hours to go. Kickstart my heart, Motley Crue. Man, I cannot wait. I was not stoked like this last year. I was not. I built up all those years of frustration. I leaned into the fear last year that it was just going to be another heartbreak. I ain't doing that this time. I'm not. I'm just not. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Joshua Byers is running the show today. My name is Brad Porter. I actually had to get a cup of coffee to come down a little bit for the show because I'm just so stoked. Coming up on the show today, full show, coming up at 9:30, Blaine Howard, country music singer-songwriter. He does a song about the Chiefs almost every week. He lives in Nashville, and for whatever reason, he's a Chiefs fan, and we're going to find out why. That's coming up at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News and co-host of the podcast, Fourth and One, is going to join us. He's got a lot of film study he's put under his belt this week, so we'll talk to him about what he's seen from the Chiefs and the Titans this week and what we should look for. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll talk a little Royals. With the passing of former owner David Glass, it was announced yesterday by the club. I guess he passed about a week ago. We'll talk with David Leske about the legacy of David Glass. We're going to talk mostly Chiefs today, and our Chiefs coverage brought to you by Polsinelli, the law firm solving complex business challenges for more than 40 years. Business has its challenges. You need the team to bring you the real answers, the Polsinelli Law Firm. And joining us right now, a man who may have needed the help of the law back when he was a young man, Richard Baldinger, former Chiefs offensive lineman. Richard, how are you on this Saturday morning? Are you ready?
Oh, Brad, let me tell you something. I don't need any coffee, buddy, right now. you don't need anything for this one Sunday morning. I think the world's going to be watching us. The eyes of the world are going to be upon Kansas City. What an afternoon at 2:05. I mean, to think the Chiefs to be 12-4 and back here again after they went through with the injuries to Patrick in the middle of the season, the defense struggling. You just didn't think. I mean, there was nobody in town here that, through the midway point, thought that this is where the Chiefs were going to be. But yet, Andy Reid does it again, and he's got this group of guys ready to go. And I tell you what, it's going to be a battle out here. It is going to be a slugfest, but I look for a great game from both teams.
You mentioned the injury to Patrick Mahomes, and I think collectively, as Chiefs Kingdom, Kansas City sports fans, we all took a deep breath. Oh, no, how long is this going to last? We've got Matt Moore, who wasn't even in football last year. He was coaching high school football, for crying out loud. He got us a win. He came in relief and got a win. He got another win on his own, got a close loss against the Packers. And yet that one win that Matt Moore got was huge. Every win's huge. Every win is huge, but if you get a backup who comes in who hasn't played in over a year, I mean, how big was that? You think about all the dominoes that have fallen. That was huge.
And I think that's just a credit to Andy Reid and what he can do and finding out, no matter what player it is, that they, especially at the quarterback position. I mean, you just look at the history of what his ability to take that position, find out the weaknesses, the strengths. What can we do? Where can we go with this offense? What do I have to eliminate? What do I have to keep the same? But yet, I just think he's got a knack for that. And I think, nowadays you look around this league and you think of all the NFL coaching changes going on and, like the debacle up in Cleveland and everything. But you think about that, getting the head coach, getting that OC, the offense coordinator, to work with these kids coming out of college, especially now at that position. And Andy Reid just seems to be able to get it done. And I just think that's what puts him in the elite coaches in the NFL nowadays. He's able to get these kids to transition into this NFL game or at least play at this level you need to be successful. And, again, that's why I think the Chiefs are sitting at 12-4. I mean, Andy has just done a remarkable job. And I think this has been one of his best coaching years so far in his career. Get the guys back. And, hey, against the Tennessee Titans that are coming in here on fire right now.
You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Our guest is Richard Baldinger, former Chiefs offensive lineman. So, Richard, let's pick it up with Andy Reid right there. There's been a lot of discussion over the last week, maybe 2 weeks. In fact, maybe the last 10 years about whether or not Andy Reid needs to win a Super Bowl to cement his legacy. Okay, let me take that in two parts. One, yes, you win a Super Bowl that goes at the top of the resume. That's you punch your ticket to Canton, Ohio, the Hall of Fame. I get all that. Regardless of that, I think he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. But here we are on the precipice for the second year in a row. It was close last year and went to overtime. Patrick Mahomes never got to get the football in overtime because of the NFL rules, which I cannot stand, but that's a discussion for another time. But tell me, what kind of game plan do you think Andy Reid needs to come up with, along with Eric Bieniemy? Let's not leave him out. He should be a head coach, but he's not. What kind of game plan does Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy need to have for the Titans tomorrow?
Well, I think, again, you're going to have to continue with out in the field their ability to use misdirection, add the word smoke and mirrors in there. You're going to have to challenge this defense of Tennessee right now because their defensive coordinator, Dean Pease, has done a remarkable job. I mean, this is a guy that was in New England for a while. This is a guy that was in Baltimore for a while. You go and look at what he's done in his past in terms of creating turnovers, but always being able to dominate in the trenches. And right now, for me, Tennessee, on both sides of the ball, they've been absolutely in the playoff games. I mean, they just stuffed New England and forget about what they did to Baltimore. So we're going to have to challenge this defense. You're going to have to make them cover from sideline to sideline. You're going to have to press them vertical, get them in single coverage. You cannot let them rotate up on double cover on anybody, but get everybody involved. And that's where I think this offense is so much different than Tennessee. We can attack every inch of the field, quick passes, and it will definitely blunt this defense because I'm telling you, that front four led by Jarrell Casey, they have been on fire, and they're going to come smoking. So it's going to be up to Andy, I think, again, just stretch the field both horizontally and vertically, and I think we can be successful in putting points up there on the board.
We're speaking with former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger, Chiefs and Titans, Arrowhead Stadium, Sunday 2:05 for the AFC Championship game. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with the one and only Kevin Harlan on the call. One of my he's my favorite. I grew up listening to Kevin, and Mitch is fantastic, too. We've been blessed with the best broadcasters in the National Football League here in Kansas City. So you talked about attacking every inch of the field for the Kansas City Chiefs. Tyreek Hill came out this week and he said, you know what? I don't think anybody can stop us. When you look at all of our weapons, I don't think anybody can stop us. And look, some people might want to call that bulletin board material. That's fine. You know what, Baldy? I want everybody on that Chiefs roster believing that sentiment that nobody can stop us. I want that.
No, I agree with you. You just have to look at the multiple formations. And the basic one, they're 3-by-1 formation, you know, with Tyreek in the bunch formation, got Kelce on the single side. You know what? Nobody has covered him yet. They haven't
right.
been able to. And the one thing that I was really impressed with in that game against Houston, and what's been kind of a bugaboo for him this year, has been that red zone. You know, they've scored the most points outside the red zone, but when they've gotten inside, things just haven't been as well for them. But against Houston, they put touchdowns up on the board. And you know and I know, if they would have, even with those turnovers caused by special teams, they only kicked field goals, Houston would have hung around that game. But once you put touchdowns on the board, you took the life out of Houston. That's why Kansas City ends up scoring 51 points. So I like what they did. They ran the ball when they had to. They were able to create separation down in close quarters, and I don't think anybody's better than the Chiefs in all the National Football League. In fact, I can't remember many teams in my history where I've seen skilled players able to separate like the way these guys do and, of course, catch the ball. So there's so many good things that they're doing right now. It's just a matter of stay focused. Don't worry about the pass. Everyone's talking about the skeletons in the closet. You know, they just the pass, the horror shows that we've had here. Go out there, and I think with what Patrick Holmes, what he did in that first quarter in terms of getting his players refocused, says a lot about what his leadership, and that will be the difference on the field.
We're speaking with former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger. You talked about the red zone and close quarters, and the play for me, I mean, God, pick out a play from last week. They all stood out. But the play that really stood out for me in terms of communication was the touchdown and where Patrick Mahomes rolled to his right, looking for somebody. Travis Kelce is moving towards that pylon. And Mahomes doesn't throw it quite yet. And Kelce takes one step back and kind of sits in the hole. And the communication there, you saw the clips on the sideline where Kelce is like, how'd you know what I was thinking? And Mahomes is like, I always know what you're thinking. We always know what we're thinking. But that play where he just takes a half a step back and sits in the hole and it's a touchdown, it's just, that's the kind of stuff that gets you to the Super Bowl.
It is. And that's the one thing about Kelce and why I just think I put him as one of the top tight ends to ever play in this business. I mean, his ability against man coverage, I mean, he can shake a safety, a corner, a linebacker. In fact, Houston had to hold him a couple times. They had two guys trying to hold him. They couldn't stop him. So, and then whether it's a zone defense, he knows spacing so well, Kelce. He knows exactly where to settle down. He never drifts too far, and he's able to get that eye contact with quarterbacks. So, I mean, he is a special player. There's no question about it. He's improved his run blocking so much over the years. But his ability, no matter where you line him up, in the slot, wide receiver, whatever, he runs like a wide receiver. And that is a difference maker on this team. And you look at Tennessee right now, there's nobody in that receiving department at that tight end position like what Kansas City has at Kelce. And it's just a difference maker for quarterback. You talk about having that security blanket for you all the time on the field. Kelce is the magic man.
And I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow or 2 weeks in Miami we don't see Kelce line up one more time in that that Wildcat formation and run a little something off that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is so many different. You're exactly right. And that's the thing, the skill set level of these guys, whether you put them at slot, whether you put them at running back, whether you put them at what, they can all rotate at different positions. And that's what I just think makes Andy Reid so special. These guys, I mean, it's tough to get on that field. But once you are on that field, your ability to play at any position, understand how it changes, too. There's the physical side, but it's also the mental side. And that's what you got to give credit to these players for. You do not see, I mean, it's very rare where you see maybe an errant pass or receivers, the two guys in one place where they shouldn't be. It's like everybody's always on the same page. They understand their adjustments on the field to what the defense is doing. And again, that's a testament to this organization that guys not only understand the physical side, Brad, but the smart side of things. And believe me, if you're not playing smart, you might as well not play at all, man, because the NFL is too good of athletes and they'll find a way to beat you.
You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Our guest is former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger. All right, Baldy, the offense is the obvious thing to talk about. Let's flip over and talk about the defense, and I'll start you with this. Chris Jones, questionable as of right now. We don't know how much he practiced this week or if he'll work out today. We don't know. If he is able to go at least a little bit, would you be in favor of getting him on the field at least for third down rush situations? Or if he's not, I pick a percentage, 80%, whatever, would you be more in favor of making sure there are more healthy guys ready to go? I don't know how I feel about it right now, but I'm thinking if Chris Jones can at least go on third down plays, get him out there. But I don't know. I'll defer to you on that.
Oh, I think with any ability he can give you on third down, on any down, if he can get out there, he's just too good of an athlete. He creates such havoc. His ability to move from one gap to another with the height and the length that he has, and what is just, you know, athleticism. I mean, you think of J.J. Watt, I put Chris Jones in that same ability. He lines up in a wide nine, he'll jump inside the tackle. He can do so many things. So whatever you can get out of him on the field, he's a difference maker. You have to account for him. You have to put a running back. You have to slide towards that guy or have a running back shift because he just creates so much havoc because of his natural ability, you know, running ability, quickness, and it's just fundamental. And at that position, whether it doesn't matter where he is, inside, outside. So put it all together. Listen, in this game, it's all about getting depth and rotation. You need as many guys as you can. It's about rushing the passer. The idea that you can have a front four and that's it. Nowadays, you need 9 and 10. And, Brad, it's the same thing you hear from coaches at all levels. I got a good rotation. I got 9 or 10 guys. So I think the Chiefs do have that. I think they've shown that. You know, Pinnell coming in here this year, halfway through the season, the difference he's made up there in the front line and everything. So it's a matter of just getting as many guys you can on the field because you're going to need them. You're going to need them somewhere along the line, and nobody can play the whole game. You know, you do your series, and you rotate in with the next guy, and that's what I think the Chiefs have this year.
We're speaking with former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger. Richard, you said earlier in the show maybe this season has been Andy Reid's best, you know, getting through the injuries and those sorts of things. I got to think Steve Spagnuolo's got to come in for consideration as well because, you know, several weeks ago, Emmanuel Ogba out, Alex Okafor out, the best young safety in the game, Juan Thornhill, out. Morris Claiborne has missed time for personal reasons. He's been out. And yet Steve Spagnuolo has been able to rally the troops and put together so many good performances over the last 8 or 9 weeks to get this team in a position where to get this defense in a spot where they were not even close to last year going into the AFC Championship game.
And I don't even think we thought they were close to it halfway through the season.
No,
you know, and
you're right.
Lost to Tennessee, you know, in that game. You're thinking, my, we just cannot get over this thing about being able to challenge anybody and stopping the run. You know, it's like, where do we go? What personnel do we need? Frank Clark was still injured, wasn't playing at the level you thought he could play at and everything. So the question marks. So you're exactly right. Give Coach Spagnuolo credit. And, you know, the thing is, you really go back to that game down in Mexico with San Diego where the Chiefs, yeah, they gave up some passing yards in that game. But that's where they began to establish the whole thing about stopping the run. There was an attitude difference. We work different with the linebackers now, having them hit one gap and studying read multiple gaps. And it just seemed like this whole thing, they got an attitude, Brad. And that's where I'm staying this year. This is where I'm finally saying why the Chiefs win this game. In the past, we just did not have a chance. Go back to the year that Tennessee beat us in the playoffs, came out in the second half and just stuffed it down our throat. But earlier in the year, during the regular season, we played them. They did the same thing. We never changed. We never came up with different attitude or a way to stop. This year we did. Finally, with Coach Spagnuolo, I think the players finally bought into it. And believe me, when you've not had success and you keep rotating coaches, bring new people in, you don't always believe them. It takes you a while. It really does. It takes guys on the field, getting people to work, to understand the system. And I think the guys have got it now. And that's why they're playing great against the run. And look what they did against Houston, you know. And in terms of what they had to do on first down, second down, much difference, and that's why I'm thinking that this is why the Chiefs will come out on top. We are listen, Henry's going to get some yards. Derrick Henry's going to get some yards. But if you keep him below 120 yards, Chiefs win this football game.
We're speaking with former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger. Richard, a couple of final things for you. And I agree with you on Derrick Henry. You know, buck 20, buck 50, just hope they're empty yards. And
yep.
what I mean by that is not getting in the red zone, not setting the Titans up to score points. So the final aspect of this game, and, you know, I always appreciate people like Dana Hughes, your friend and mine, special teams guys who put all that time in.
Mm-hmm.
And when mistakes happen on special teams with the Chiefs, it really stands out because for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, those things have not happened. But you go back to the first meeting with the Titans, that was a problem. A bad field goal, whether it was a mishandled snap, hold, mm-hmm. whatever it was, mistakes. We saw mistakes last week in that first quarter against the Texans. Can the Chiefs avoid those mistakes, or I guess how do they avoid those mistakes against the Titans in a game that might be kind of close?
Well, I think it's all about concentration. It's about focus. It's like trying not. I think what happened with these guys is they pressed so hard. And, you know, Brad, that's why I was a firm believer. I didn't really want the bye. I wanted this team to continue to play. I felt like they needed that. It just keeps the rhythm going. And I felt like, you know, sometimes you get that week off, it's natural for the body just to begin to relax. You take your focus away. And then when things don't work out, you start thinking immediately. And that's what I think happened early in the game. But then they settled down. They said, okay, we understand where we're at with these things. Take one step at a time instead of a country mile, and you'll be okay. And we were. So I think that you apply that to the special teams. I think that they've learned that in that during the season in this loss to Tennessee where we had, what, the mishandled, then we punt, and then we had the blocked field goal. I think they've learned from this. I think they understand that special teams, that's why you call it special teams. And this isn't something you see all the time from the Kansas City Chiefs. We've had it once in a while, but it's not like every week. So that's what I'm thinking. They understand why you call it special teams. And you do that because it takes a complete concentration and focus. You'll see a much better team this week against Tennessee. And this, I don't believe that's going to be part of the game at all for the Chiefs this week.
You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Our guest is former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger. All right, Richard, you and I did a post-game show on TV for about 20 years. You know how I roll on Sunday. There's probably been many a cell phone that gave their life over my frustrations with the way playoff games ended. And you've seen me toss stuff around the newsroom, and we did so many post-game shows after big losses that it just got routine after a while. So give me your prediction for tomorrow. Chiefs and Titans, will I be throwing a cell phone, or will I be putting on my Chiefs jersey and running around the studio like a madman in celebration?
Well, I think you'll be throwing your cell phone, too, in celebration, too. It's going to be a physical matchup. There's no question about it. You're going to see some contact out there. It is going to be – you might want to put the children away for this one because it's going to be a slugfest. Believe me, if you know Mike Vrabel and his background, he is coming in on fire right now. His hair is on fire. So he's going to get his team playing that way. But I think the Chiefs, again, what we have offensively will just be too much for Tennessee. I'm looking for a win here of 28-17 in the game. And I think we're all going down to Miami to sit on South Beach with a cool pina colada and have a great time, buddy.
Man, I'll be there with you. Final thing, Baldy, you mentioned Mike Vrabel. Have you heard what he said going into the season, what he would do to win a Super Bowl?
Well, he's a linebacker. He's from Ohio State, so put the two together. I get that. Yes, I had heard that, and I don't like to talk about it because I start cringing. This is a family hour, right? Do I have to be careful right now?
I think if you're a sports fan in Kansas City and follow the National Football League, we all know what we're talking about here with Mike Vrabel and what he said he would cut off to win a Super Bowl. We know.
If it doesn't work out for you, there's another year. There's certain things you just need to have in life. I'll just leave it at that, buddy, before I get in trouble here.
Don't go all...
he's going to bring his team in. And, you know, you have to give him credit. I mean, this team, for what they've done on the road, to go to New England and then go to Baltimore and play the way they did, you know they're going to bring that physicality. So it's going to be the challenge for the Chiefs. But I just think with the weapons that we have, both offensively and defensively, that we haven't had in the past, you put it all together. We learned what happened in New England last year. And that's what I think Coach Spagnuolo brings in the final point for you here, Brad. He has an attitude on defense that he will never quit. He finds a weakness, and he's going to expose it. In the past, we would sit back and let people dictate the flow of the game. Coach Spagnuolo doesn't let that happen with this defense, and that's why I'm saying it's going to be a different game for the Kansas City Chiefs out there, one Arrowhead Drive on Sunday.
All right, Baldy, break out your Jerry Garcia tie, and hopefully Sunday night you're blasting some Grateful Dead in celebration of the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl in Miami. We're going to play that for you right now on the way out. Baldy, I thank you so much for your time. Thank you very much, and have fun tomorrow.
You got it, buddy. Take care, sir.
All right, that is former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger. He's a huge Grateful Dead fan. He's probably seen him over 100 times in concert, so that's why we're playing it here. Going to break. Man, I'm so stoked for this game. I'm not. You won't be able to live with me for the rest of the day today or tomorrow, just getting to the game. All right, we are coming up on a break here. We're going to keep it rolling. Coming up next, country music singer-songwriter Blaine Howard is going to join us. He's an up-and-coming singer in Nashville. He usually puts out about a minute and a half song about the Chiefs every week. We're going to find out why he's a Chiefs fan. It's good stuff. Man, cannot wait. We'll take a quick time out. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show in his Miami Heat t-shirt. Quick timeout. Blaine Howard next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Got a phone call from my neighbor here in Nashville, Tennessee, asking me who I was rooting for to win the AFC. Though I'm happy for the Titans and I'm glad they've done so well, I'm a KC fan down in my heart, and so I'm here to tell. Those KC Chiefs are always winning, catching touchdowns from Mahomes. He Even if they spot them 24, they'll bring the victory home. When the Chiefs run out of fireworks, well, you'll still hear me sing. We're the Chiefs from Kansas City, and we are the Comeback Kings.
Kansas All right, that is country music singer, songwriter Blaine Howard singing about his Kansas City Chiefs. And Blaine Howard is kind enough to join us early on a Saturday morning. Blaine, first of all, thank you for another Chiefs song. How are you on this Saturday morning on the eve of the AFC Championship?
Good morning, Brad. I'm doing great. I'm a little nervous. I'm having a little bit of trouble sleeping, you know. So excited, a little bit nervous about the game tomorrow, but I cannot wait.
I'm in the same boat, Blaine. And by the way, you're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Blaine, I'm the same way. Last year, going into the AFC Championship game, I kind of leaned into all of the bad history and thinking, well, we'll just get our heart broken again. Don't get your hopes up. And so after the game, I was like, okay, that just happens. This year, Blaine, I am 100% on board. Chiefs are going to win this game. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be heartbroken. But I'm not even thinking that. No negative thoughts. Chiefs are winning this game tomorrow.
Absolutely. That's the way we've all got to think. I know Chiefs fans do that a lot. They like to remember the past and all the negative stuff. But this is a different year, a different team, and I'm in the same boat. We're winning this game tomorrow.
We're speaking with country music singer-songwriter Blaine Howard here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And by the way, let me just go ahead and throw out the Twitter and the webpage, at Blaine Howard, and Blaine is spelled B-A-L-N-E, Blaine Howard, or go to BlaineHoward.com and check out all of his great music. So, Blaine, tell me a little bit about, you know, you've got these songs, you put up a couple the last few weeks. Where did you grow up? I know you're living in Nashville now because, you're building your country music career. Where did you grow up, and how did you become a Chiefs fan?
Well, I grew up in Arkansas, but I was born just about 90 miles south of KC in Fort Scott, Kansas. And growing up, my grandfather was a huge Chiefs fan. Everywhere we went, he had on his Chiefs jersey. And, you know, if the game was on, he had it on, sitting there in his chair watching it. And so I was always watching them as a kid, even when I didn't even know what football was. my brother and my cousins are big fans, too, and even though we moved to Arkansas, you know, we don't have professional sports teams in Arkansas, so you've got to pick somebody. And, you know, since I was watching the Chiefs since before I knew what football was, that's just the team that I naturally gravitated towards. And I've always, you know, I've watched them. Even though I didn't go to my first game at Arrowhead till last year, I've watched all those heartbreaks as well. So being able to go last year and watch them beat the Colts and all that stuff was just incredible.
We're speaking with country music singer-songwriter Blaine Howard here. He puts up songs about the Chiefs. If you want to see his songs, go to his Twitter account, at Blaine Howard. So, Blaine, living in Nashville, I'm sure you got a lot of neighbors who are Titans fans. How does this go over wherever you live? I don't know if you live in a house or an apartment. How does this go over with your neighbors?
Yeah, usually I have no problem wearing my red and gold around on game weeks and stuff, but I've tried to be a little more subtle with it this week.
Okay.
just because, you know, that's just for protection, just the sheer, you know, outnumberedness of it all. But, you know, Titans fans are great. The great part about Nashville is there's not a lot of people that actually grew up here. They're from everywhere. So when you go to a Titans game here at Nissan Stadium, you've got a bunch of Titans fans that are there, but you've also got a great crowd of the other team usually because so many people are transplants here in Nashville. But my manager, Neil Spielberg, is a huge Titans fan. He went to the game up in New York City last year. He's got all the gear too. And so we were texting each other, well, how are you going to be in Miami if I'm going to be in Miami?
Right. So your manager is a Titans fan, but you're a Chiefs fan. I'm sure you've got lots of friends in the country music business. Do you have any friendly wagers going on for the AFC Championship game?
I do not this week. I had a couple that just for like beers and stuff like that for the regular season game, but I don't this week just because I think everybody's so nervous to like put any extra juju on their team or something.
Right.
Everybody's kind of avoiding those this week. But I've got some friends that are big Packers fans. I actually spent the weekend in Vegas with them watching the game last weekend. So if there's a potential Packers-Chiefs matchup, I'm sure there will be some stuff going on there.
Well, Joshua Byers, the producer, and I were talking before the show, and I've been talking with some other folks. And Man, if you could get a rematch of Super Bowl IV, Packers and Chiefs, I just think for nostalgia, for history of the game, for all the great video from NFL films that you could put out, to me, that's a dream matchup.
Yeah, in the 100th year of the NFL, to get that Super Bowl I matchup would be incredible. And, you know, this whole year I've been telling a lot of my friends, it'd be like a movie script if the Chiefs waited 50 years to win another Super Bowl. And it's been 50 years since we were there, so this would be huge. Before we get any further, I do have to say, give a shout-out to everybody over at Lot J and Nate and everybody over there, because those guys, every time I've come to KC for a game, they've taken care of me, and I don't know how much time we have, so I just want to thank everybody over there at Lot J as well, because they always throw a heck of a party, and they had me come up and play some music for them earlier this year as well. So
you can shout out to anybody you want, and Blaine, when we get to a break, I've blown through breaks before. That's fine. We'll get there. You got to take care of everybody. So
absolutely.
The last time I blew through a break was. And I tweeted this to one of your fans yesterday. By the way, when I tweeted out last night that you were coming on the show, I got people jumping in my Twitter timeline from all over the country, and I'm like, who are all these people? But it's great. And I know you followed me on Twitter yesterday, and I'm telling you, if you want to unfollow me later, that's fine, because I tweet out a lot of I tweet out Kansas City sports stuff and stupid dad jokes and observations. So,
you know what, my wife is about 6.5 months pregnant right now.
Oh man,
I'll take the dad joke too.
Tell you what, Blaine, I've got a 16-year-old sophomore in high school. I've got a 13-year-old eighth grader. You are in for the greatest and most challenging ride of your life. And let me tell you something, Blaine. As a sports fan, one of the greatest moments for me with my kids is, okay, so the Royals won the World Series in 1985 when I was in seventh grade. That's how old I am. Okay, so I had to wait 30 years for the next one. And when the Royals won it in 2015, it was the one day I did not have to cover the Royals playoffs at my former TV station, because I had to do a Chiefs show that day. So I got to watch the World Series Game 5 against the Mets with my kids, and my oldest was almost the exact same age as I was when the Royals won the first World Series. So for you and your kids, you're going to share so many moments together, whether it's joy, heartbreak, whatever. You guys are in for a great ride.
That's just incredible. That's something that I think that every parent obviously looks for, those moments that they're going to share with their kids. Even, you know, whether it's something that they accomplish or it's just something as simple as the sports game. I think that's what's great about so many of these, you know, so many of the sports teams and everything around the country. They bring people together. But yeah, we are completely we're just so over the moon excited and cannot wait to be parents.
We are speaking with Blaine Howard, country music singer, songwriter, lives in Nashville, but he's a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan, was born in Fort Scott, Kansas, grew up in Arkansas. Blaine, I've got to ask you, you mentioned the 100th anniversary of the National Football League and all the numbers, the Chiefs being 50 years removed from the Super Bowl. A handful of years ago, the Chiefs PR department sent out jerseys to members of the media celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Kansas City Chiefs. I have never worn that jersey. It's got a number 50 on it. It's got my name on the back. I've never worn it because I'm saving it for a great occasion. Should I wear it for the game tomorrow against the Tennessee Titans?
Oh, my gosh. See, this is so weird because I'm wondering if I should pull the jersey that I wore last week out of the laundry right now and just keep wearing the same thing.
Yeah.
Do I rock the playoff beard and not shave until we lose? You know, that's one of those things where, do you go ahead and wear it now, or do you save it, you know, crossing our fingers for wearing it in 2 weeks?
I think I've debated this in my head. Believe me, I spend a lot of times worried about stupid things. I'm thinking I bring it to the radio station tomorrow, but not wearing it. And then after the Chiefs win, I put it on so people watching on Facebook can check it out. I think
that's a good way to go. And, as sports fans, we're also a little superstitious about stuff. But at the end of the day, what we wear and all that, you know, where we sit and what, you know, what we're eating while we're watching the game really doesn't have that much effect on it.
We're speaking with country music singer-songwriter Blaine Howard. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Blaine Howard, and Blaine is spelled B-L-A-N-E. Go to his website, BlaineHoward.com. He's got a lot of his good music up there. He's been on CMT several times, and I've watched the clips, and it's all good stuff. Blaine, when you travel around the country doing your shows, and I know last week you were tweeting out, I think you were in Vegas and you were able to catch the game. Do you arrange your schedule so that you're in place to watch the Chiefs?
You know, luckily with music life, there's not a lot of shows that come up on Sundays.
So sure.
That always helps a little bit. So if we're traveling back to Nashville on a Sunday, most of the time, I can somehow get the game on my phone. So even if I'm driving, I can listen to it, or someone else in the band will drive or something like that. So I can watch the game. And we all do that because, you know, again, Nashville people are from everywhere. So some people are fans of other teams, so that we tend to rotate. But yeah, there's definitely, well, okay. So the Chiefs have an afternoon game at 3:45. So if I drive the first shift and hand off at 2 o'clock, that means I can watch the whole game all the way back. So there's definitely some of that going on. Usually we travel we leave Nashville on Wednesdays or Thursdays. So if they're playing a Thursday night game, we are definitely trying to, you know, okay, we got to get there before, you know, 6 o'clock, so we have time to settle in and change clothes and watch the game. So that's definitely part of the travel arrangement.
We're speaking with Blaine Howard, country music singer and songwriter. You put a lot of miles on him. Look, I've got friends, several friends who played Major League Baseball, and they all talk about their time on the road in the minor leagues and the hours on the buses. And you're talking about you're taking a shift driving the bus until the Chiefs game comes on. What is one of the more interesting stories you can tell about the road that's clean for radio but also very interesting? And I'll give you one back. But do you have a story that's interesting, funny, weird from one of the road trips of your career?
Man. There have been quite a few. I'm not sure most of them aren't radio friendly. That's the main issue there.
Okay.
There have definitely been plenty of times when, you know, you are driving through. Like, I can remember we played in like Omaha and Des Moines a couple of months ago, and there's not a whole lot of gas stations to stop at.
Nope.
When you're driving across those states. So there's definitely been a few bathroom emergencies where a cornfield was looking pretty darn good.
Hey, Blaine, I was born in Fort Dodge, Iowa, and the only reason I say Fort Dodge is because some people know where that is. I actually grew up on a little farm area in Badger, which is outside of Fort Dodge, and we used to go up to Iowa every summer and then every Christmas. And between Kansas City and Fort Dodge, Iowa, there's a couple of long stretches where, you know, you got to pull over and it's just the way it is.
That's the way it is. Yeah.
So I've had many road trips. I used to travel with the Kansas City Royals, and I usually don't tell stories about the team because, you know, what happens on the road stays on, all that stuff. And even though I never saw anything weird, but one of the more interesting things that happened was we were in Detroit to play the Tigers, and we stay out in Dearborn because you didn't want to stay in downtown Detroit. And I'm standing there late at night, waiting to go on the elevator, and there's this huge guy next to me, and I'm like, okay, this guy's either a bouncer, security guard, or a football player or something. And I kind of look around the other side, and it's Marilyn Manson standing right there. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm standing in an elevator. We're outside of an elevator next to Marilyn Manson. The elevator door's open. Marilyn Manson and his security guy get in, and my jaw's on the ground, and the security guy looks at me and he goes, are you getting on or what? And I was like, and I said, go ahead. I was speechless, and so I chickened out. But the hotel people said that Marilyn Manson's a great guy. So,
well, he's like what, six? I don't know,
he's a big
like
dude.
6'5", 6'6".
Yeah,
he's got that pale white face. So yeah, he's gonna stand out and be pretty shocking to see no matter what. But yeah, just knowing that it was him, and you always wonder in those situations too. If they have a security guard with them, do they want the elevator to themselves too? So.
And that's what I think that's what I was thinking was, you know what, he probably wants his privacy, and that's fine. We're speaking with Blaine Howard, country music singer-songwriter. Go to his Twitter account, at Blaine Howard, B-L-A-N-E. Go to his website, BlaineHoward.com, see all of his music. A couple of final things for you, Blaine. I was reading through some of your bio, and you grew up on Johnny Cash music, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So, yes, quick funny story, and then you tell me the first time you sang a Johnny Cash song in public. So, years ago, my 16-year-old is not listening. He doesn't care that dad's on the radio today. Just, it doesn't matter. So, when he was about 3 or 4 years old, we were at an anniversary party for an older couple, and they were playing music, and they had a microphone. They said, does anybody want to come up and sing? And so, my son, 3 or 4 years old, gets up there, and he belts out Folsom Prison. And when he got to the line about
good choice,
when he sang, I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die, everybody in the room was like, oh, my God, that kid just said that. What was your first experience of singing a Johnny Cash song in public?
Well, first off, let me say, so my grandmother still lives in Kansas to this day in the same house that, you know, I lived in when I was a kid. And before we moved to Arkansas, and we've always gone back there for holidays. And she lives between two railroad tracks. So, and me and my brother,
oh my gosh,
we're all spread out every 3 years. So we're all really close. And so we all basically were little all at the same time. So, and every time a train would come by and we'd hear the engine blow or whatever, we would all run to the front window or run out in the front yard just to watch the train go by. And every time we did, my grandmother would start singing, I hear the train coming, it's going around. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. And then she'd just stop. And we just, you know, that was just something she did every time. We were, I don't know, at the time I was probably 7 or 8 years old. I had no idea who Johnny Cash was. So the first time that my older cousin Brenton and I, who lives in Overland Park.
Awesome. Hey, shout out, Brenton.
What's up, Brenton? He's probably teaching a CrossFit class right now. So if you want to get in shape in the Overland Park area.
Sure.
The first time we heard that song, like, in full on the radio, we looked at each other like, what in the world is going on? Did Johnny Cash steal our grandmother's song? We had no idea that
right.
this was the Johnny Cash song. We just heard my grandmother sing the first three lines because she never got to the Folsom Prison part or Shot a Man in Reno because she wasn't going to sing it for us when we were really little. So we had no idea that this was even a Johnny Cash song because we were probably 8 or 9 years old.
We are speaking with Blaine Howard, country music singer, songwriter, who is a huge Chiefs fan. He lives in Nashville, but he's rooting for Kansas City. Blaine, my producer, Joshua Byers, has a question for you.
Hey,
go
Blaine.
Right ahead, Josh.
I know a lot of Chiefs fans live and breathe, you know, football. What's more nerve-wracking, performing in front of a huge crowd or getting ready for a Chiefs playoff game?
Oh, Chiefs playoff game for sure. It's not even close. For some reason, performing, at least for me, the huge crowds aren't what make me nervous. It'd be performing in front of like 20 people or less that would make me more nervous than anything. But for some reason, the big crowds performing, it gives you an adrenaline rush, and you're amped and you're excited to get out there. Which I'm sure that's how the players, you know, feel when they run out in front of 70,000 screaming fans. But it's not even close. I can't tell you the amount of things I've wanted to break or, you know, through the years watching the Chiefs. Or I'm a Razorback fan, too, so we call them the Heartbreak.
Oh, no.
So there's definitely more nerves in watching a Chiefs playoff game, for sure.
No, Blaine, I did television for 20 years, and then I've been doing radio the last three. And people would always ask me, do you get nervous, you know, doing television? I'm like, well, in the studio, it's cold, it's antiseptic, you're in there by yourself, and if you make a mistake, you can do it over. But I, like, and believe me, I'm not comparing this, but if you do a live shot at Arrowhead Stadium with 76,000 people, people would say, you know, how do you do that? And I said, you could put a marching band behind me, and I wouldn't care. That's when I really get up.
Right.
Because when you're live, and you know there's no second take, that's when you got to hit it, right?
Absolutely. And there's definitely something in your mind that kind of clicks. It's almost like you don't even have to try and focus. Your body just does it automatically. It's really, really weird.
We're speaking with Blaine Howard, country music singer-songwriter. Again, follow him on Twitter, at Blaine Howard, B-L-A-N-E. He's got songs up about the Kansas City Chiefs. Go to his website, BlaineHoward.com. Final thing, and I've got a wrap-up for you, wrap-up with you. The first musical guest we ever had on the show, first and only so far, was Ice Cube.
Oh, wow.
So you are number two, and
you're
both knocked it out of the park. And I'll leave you with one quick story, because I know you're building your music career, right?
Oh, yeah.
So years ago, this is probably 25 years ago, I was at Kauffman State. I'm telling a lot of stories about myself. I apologize. but I was out at Kauffman Stadium.
Doesn't bother me. I'm enjoying it.
Well, I was out at Kauffman Stadium, and this will be good for you. I was out at Kauffman Stadium, and I was a young kid. I was probably 22, 21, 23, something like that. And they would always put me at the end of the press box in a closed area by myself because I was the young guy. I didn't know anything. And whoever sang the national anthem that day would also come in that room because they would want to be left alone or whatever. And so I'm sitting in there one day. And over the years, you know, Shelley Wright had performed. I got to meet her. She was fantastic, and a couple of other people. But this scrawny little kid, he was about 5'7", comes in. He's got a hockey mullet haircut. He's got a huge hat. He's got a brush popper shirt on and these, you know, tight jeans and ropers on. And he comes in the room, and the guy comes in, and he says, "Hey, do you want to meet today's singer?" And I said, "Well, sure." And he said, this is Kenny Chesney." And I looked at him and I was like, "Oh, okay, well, you know," and they gave me a CD and they autographed it when they still had CDs, and he autographed it for me. And I was like, "Kenny, it's great to meet you. You did a great job today. Good luck in your career." I have now paid a lot of money to see him live at Arrowhead Stadium. Not once, but twice. So you never, never know, Blaine.
That's right. He puts on a good show, too. I saw him live. It's been a long time, but I saw him live back when I was in high school, and, man, he does put on a great show.
It I tell people it's like a beach party for 3 hours.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, you forget where you are. Hey, Blaine, I appreciate your time, and, you know, I called one of your managers, PR people, Barney Kilpatrick, yesterday out of the blue, and I said, "Hey," and he answered his phone, which I was surprised by, and I said, "Hey, you know, got a little radio show in Kansas City. Can we get Blaine on?" He's like, "Yeah, sure." So thank you to Barney. And, Blaine, thank you for your time, and good luck on the road. I know you travel a lot, but you'll be in your seat tomorrow at 2:05 for Chiefs and Titans. I appreciate your time so much, Blaine.
Brad, thank you so much, man. Go Chiefs.
All right, fantastic. And we're going to play your song going to break here. That is Blaine Howard. Again, follow him on Twitter, at Blaine Howard, B-L-A-N-E, Howard. And go to his website, BlaineHoward.com. He's always got songs about the Chiefs. And check out all of his other great music, young and rising in the country music business. And we thank you. Thank him for his time. Quick timeout. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Here's more of Blaine Howard here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
When the Titans come to town, I may not be in Kansas City, but Chiefs kingdoms all around. But Chiefs kingdoms all around. Go Chiefs!
Feeling that Chiefs championship vibe here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Josh, can you tell that I'm just amped? I may do the rest of the show standing up because I can't sit still.
I think everyone's geeked.
Man. We get done at 11:30. We'll hand it off to the KU pregame show, and then at 1 o'clock it's Kansas and Texas. Jayhawks had to leave early because of the weather yesterday. I don't know how I'm going to handle the rest of the day today. I just don't.
Just sit in a quiet room, listen to some Motley Crue, get fired up.
I think so.
Just get your mind right for tomorrow. I guess that's what you got to do.
Center yourself. Right? Isn't that what they always say? I have to figure out what to do. Man, 2:05, that's a long time to wait till tomorrow, 2:05. We'll have that game for you live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kevin Harlan on the call. I'm not going to make a prediction yet, but I'm looking at the numbers here, Josh. We got a minute left in this hour, and then coming up next, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, and the 4-1 podcast will join us, tell us what he's seen on video this week. Chiefs favored by 7. Over under 53. So I'm not making a prediction yet, but what do you think about those numbers?
I would hop on the over, and 7?
Yeah.
It's not bad. Vegas is always spot on with it. Last week it was
trying to
perfect,
balance the money.
But yeah, give me the over just cuz they started off slow last week. I feel like that's not going to happen again. And then they were 10 last game,
mm-hmm.
Won by 20. 7 this game, maybe win by 14.
I picked the under last week, and I don't bet money on these things. I just put them on my Twitter account. I picked the under last week, and I was done by halftime. That was not a wise move on my part. 7 points, that would make me nervous if I was a betting man. But I don't bet with my own money, and I still have to make a pick. We'll do that later in the show. Quick timeout. We'll come back and kick off hour number two with Blaine Howard. We just wrapped up with Blaine Howard. We'll come back with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, and the 4th and 1 podcast. Talk more Chiefs and Titans. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810, WHB.